this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just have a word that I believe God is saying to us that Moses had to go to the desert for 40 years so that he could lead God's people through the desert for another 40 years. Because slaves cannot inherit. And slavery will cause us to sin. Slavery will destruct. Slavery is to do with punishment. But God has got to take us out of slavery if we want to inherit the promises of God. And sometimes we have to go through the desert to meet with God so that we can accept what He has done for us, that we are children, that we are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, so that we can inherit with Him and be partakers in the goodness of what God has. So this morning, if you're going through tough times and you're taking strain, God is with you. God is with you. He's leading you. He wants you to inherit. He wants to see good things in your life, in your family's life, because God's heart is for us. But sometimes when we are in the desert, it is hard. There's sun and it's little to drink and there's not sure where our next water and our food will come from. And it's sweaty and it's hard. But God needs to take us through the desert so that we can lose the slave in us and meet Christ, the hope of glory, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just want to pray, Lord, for every person in this church this morning, God. We pray, God, that You will speak to us, that You reveal You to us, Lord. We pray for Your goodness, Your mercy, Lord. And I pray, God, for great faith, Lord, that we will walk by faith and not by sight. Father, I pray for You, Lord, to be glorified, Lord, in all that we do. All the honor, all the glory belongs to You, Jesus. We want to thank You for the cross, Lord. We want to thank You for Your love, God. We want to thank You that You have done the work already for us, Lord. I just believe God is calling us closer to Him. He's calling us to be cleansed. He's calling us to a higher place. God wants to do great and mighty things in this earth. And I believe the time is near. The time is near. God, we want to honor You. We bless You in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone with a word or a picture that they want to add? The rest can sit. If you have a word and you just want to share it this morning, thank you very much.
Morning, church. I was only going to share this if you asked, if there was anyone with a word. I was driving through to Stellenbosch on Thursday morning at just after 6:30 in the morning, so it was quite early, and I don't know if any of you else was out at that time, but there was just a magnificent yellow moon on the one side. It was just phenomenal. And as I was driving up in the Jonkershoek Mountains, there was thunder and lightning flashing on the other side, and it was like, wow, this is quite unusual. And then as I was driving, a shooting star came across and lit up the whole sky. And it all looked magnificent, but I have to be honest, I was actually very afraid. And there was a question in my heart, and I'm like, Jesus, are You coming? And there was like, oh my goodness, You're coming, is this it? And I'm not saying that those were signs of wonder, but there was that moment of, you know, when He comes, that will be it. It will be it. And I really got a sense of it will be a great and dreadful day when He comes. And that's what the Word says. And I just had that fear that for so many who have not chosen, there would not be another chance. And that Jesus comes, He came in meek and mildness initially, and He came to offer us salvation. But when He comes again, He's not going to come like that again. He's going to come as a warrior, and He's going to come to judge. And I just wanted to read Joel 2. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was just that, just a reassurance that if we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And in Romans 10, it says that if we call the name of the Lord and we declare Him as Lord, we confess with our lips that He is Lord, and we believe with our hearts that He is Lord, we shall be saved. And so I just want to encourage you, and just kind of taking on what Theo said earlier with the offering, that let's be prepared for that great and dreadful day when the Lord comes.
Yeah, I had an experience a week ago, and I didn't think this was a spiritual experience at all, but as Nicola shared now, something stirred in my heart, and I went away for work in the Eastern Cape. We were working on the road, so inspecting bridges, and every morning we'd have to write the date on the inspection form, and every time I wrote the date, every morning I said, another day is gone, and I had a sense in my heart that time is going so fast, and when Nicola was sharing this morning, I just had a sense time is running out, and you know, it was weird. When I was writing the date, I had like a sadness in my heart. I thought, time's running out for someone, and as Nicola shared this morning, I just had an urgency that time is running out. We've got an opportunity today, and let's worship God today. I don't know where it is in the Bible. It says God has set aside a day, and He's called it today, so maybe today is someone's day for salvation, and maybe today is just the day that we have to continue worshiping God. But yeah, thanks. Thanks for.
Thank you. Thanks, Yalitwe. Sure, it's not often that you get two words that confirm what you're going to preach like this ever. So it's just, for me, more of a urgency. What I believe God is wanting to say to us this morning. So I was going to start on a very high, low note and work you up to this point, but now this is where I am now. So for me to come to where I wanted to start my message is quite difficult, but let me explain to you how I came with this word. I think it was two Saturdays ago, or I was just, I think it was in social media somewhere, and or someone sent me, I can't remember what it was, but there was a book. Andy Lawton spoke to me about a book called 90 Days in Heaven, or 90 Minutes in Heaven. This man was in a terrible car accident. He died. A pastor came. He felt God saying he was going to pray for him. He prayed for him, and the man came alive. Years of reconstructive surgery and pain that he's gone through, and he wanted to die, he just wanted to give up. But he had this experience in heaven that was amazing. So I tried to find the book or the video. I heard there was a DVD and I couldn't find it, but I heard his testimony, and he explained how it happened. There was a piece of his bone here, that much, that was lost. And they had to take pains through his legs to try and grow the legs back together. So he was in tremendous pain for a long, long time. And when he eventually started sharing with people what has happened to him, a lot of people didn't believe him, saying, no, it couldn't have been. But he, over the years, and it's now 20 years later, he's been consistent. He's been continuing serving the Lord. And he said this world, he's not part of this world anymore because of what he had seen. And because he had seen it, it was so amazing. He didn't want to come back to this earth. And he wanted to die because he wanted to be with God. And I've been convicted, and I just felt that, you know, I always preach about this world and where we are and the goodness of God. And, you know, God, if we just follow Him, God will do good things in this life. And I just started getting this voice in my heart that God is saying, you're not preparing them for eternity. You're not preparing them for eternity. I had this unction in my heart that I'm not even myself prepared for eternity. That am I ready to stand before God today? And then I got a SMS from Paul Howard, and he said to me, he dreamt about me, and I did a marathon, and I was so tired. I just couldn't breathe. I was so tired, and he said in his dream, he remembered, because I told everyone, you must be ready, and you must be full heart, and that I struggled, because I wasn't prepared. because the last time I ran was in the army. Now, I've run many times since then, but that was what happened in his dream. So there wasn't preparation. There wasn't preparation. So this man shared in that testimony, he said, Jesus went to heaven to go and prepare a place for us. Are we being preparing to meet with him? So okay, Lord. Then intercession, Sunday night, and all the guys had the sense that God was speaking us to about a mountain. We must come to the mountain. So we're all very excited, and I got a few emails. This is what they believe God is saying about the mountain. And so I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, what is it about the mountain? But with me, there's a theme of revelation. I've been in Revelation again, Revelations the whole time. And I'm reading Revelations, and I'm seeing amazing things in Revelation. I'm excited about Revelation. So now I've got this mountain, and I've got Revelation. So I thought, you know, we have gone on Mother's Day, Lynette and I and the boys, we just very impulsively decided to go up Tableberg Mountain. So we drove there, and driving past, I saw a sister and my brother-in-law, my swar. I saw them standing in the queue. So we just went to go and stand with them, and he bought tickets for me on his cell phone. And he emailed me the link, and then I could just, it was so amazing. All the other people had to stand in this long queue, and just because of knowing technology a little bit, we got to skip the queue. We went up Tableberg Mountain. I just want to show you a picture there. The next slide. Daar iemand daar achter? Daar so. I took a picture of Tableberg Mountain. But going up Tableberg Mountain, you see all these people walking up. And as we're coming down, and I thought, yeah, that is actually so amazing to go up and up. On top, there was people that came from the other side. They've been walking for 6 hours when they came to the, and they look so fit. And I immediately said, yeah, let me kinders nie. You know, they don't have children. This is cool. I'm not going to do it. But I'm jealous because I also want to be able to do that. So we cheated. Okay, and that's just the next slide. We cheated. We went up the cable car. It's great. It's expensive, but it's great to go up the cable car. The boys loved it. Going up there, we rotated, so you see everything at least once, and then you get to the top. Amazing. So we had something to eat on top, and we walked around. The boys we saw a snake. We saw amazing things. So it was really great. But I've been going up mountains, especially Heidelberg Mountain, quite a lot. I just want to take you to the next one. This is from Heidelberg Mountain. It's amazing. I don't know if anyone of you have not been up there that live here. You should. Flo, you must opgaan. It's beautiful from up there. But you know what's amazing? There's no cable car. You can only walk up. So when you get to the top, there's so many things that you see differently. But not many people probably have seen that. That's just behind Heidelberg Mountain. So you're going to see things that other people will not see because you go up the mountain. And when we were praying, I saw various people going up various routes, but the one thing we had in common was that we're all together on the mountain, on top. So going up might feel lonely, but once you're on top, then we're all together. But then you have to go down again, and you're very sore afterwards. I must be honest with you. So in my preparation, I went to go and look at just different. What does it mean? What does mountains mean? The pictures of mountains. I shared with them. I was praying and that Sunday morning, and I felt God saying to me, I must go back to a picture that he had given me. Luckily, I write these things down. And when I saw that, I saw the boy standing with me, and we were waiting for Lynette to come with us. And God spoke to me in that, which is personal for me. But it was so confirming that when we came together, he was speaking to us again about the mountain again. But mountains talk about a place of worship. It's high ground. It's a place of revelation. It's a place where we separate ourselves. It's a place of cleansing, sanctification. But it also said if you have faith, you can speak to the mountain and it will go into the sea. So if you have faith like a mustard seed, tell that mountain to go into the sea. And I'm just too afraid to try it. I'm just afraid it might not come true. So, but in the Bible, there's many mountains. Mount Moriah was where Abram had to sacrifice Isaac. David built an altar to God on Mount Moriah, and Solomon built the first temple on Mount Moriah. Also, the second temple in Ezra and Nehemiah was built there, and prophecy and people believed that the third temple must be built also on Mount Moriah. They also call it the Temple Mount, but the problem is that there's a mosque built. And they call it the Temple Dome or the Dome of the Rock, where that temple is supposed to be. And it's the third most important place for the Islam faith. And according to legend, they believe that Muhammad was taken there by the angel Gabriel, and he ascended into heaven from that place. So there's a lot of interesting things from that place, specifically Mount Moriah, and it's in Jerusalem. So right next to it is the Mount of Olives, and that's where Jesus stood. He stood from that place, and he prophesied over the temple. He prophesied over the people. He went up there to pray. Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. He prayed, and before he came down on the donkey and the colt, he was on the Mount of Olives. But these mountains are all around Jerusalem. And then there's this other mountain, Sinai or Horeb, which no one really knows where it is. And if you are interested in these type of things like I am, go and watch a YouTube DVD or a clip called The Search for the Real Mount Sinai. Sinai. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Sinai. Or nee, speaks. But you know, Sinai. These guys, they thought that where traditionally it said it's not the right place. It cannot be the right place. So they went to Saudi Arabia in Hagar. In Galatians, it says that it talks about the slave woman Hagar, and that mountain must be in Saudi Arabia. And so various ways they got led to this mountain. It's called, I forgot it now. It's some Arabic name. But they had to climb over fences, and the Saudi government does not allow anyone to go up there. But it's amazing. It's very interesting. There's black on the mountain up to a certain point. And this is the mountain where Moses received, or Mount Sinai, is the mountain where Moses received or had the vision with God, the burning bush experience. Also, we received the Ten Commandments. On that mountain. It's also when he came down that the people had the golden calf having the party there, and he got so upset. It all happened at that same mountain. This was in the desert. But then Elijah also traveled for 40 days and 40 nights to the same mountain to come and stand in the cave when he asked God to reveal himself to him. And God said, I'm not in the fire. I'm not in the in the wind, I'm not in the, I just want to see, there was a great strong wind, there was an earthquake, there was a fire, and he was not in those, but he was in that still small voice, he was in that low whisper. So for me, when I looked at this yesterday, I just thought, sure, on the one side, God's giving Moses the law on that mountain, and he's giving Elijah the speaking of the Holy Spirit on that same mountain. That's quite significant, because on the Mount of Transfiguration, both Elijah and Moses appears to Jesus. We don't know where that mountain is, but they both came to him, and this is where Peter said, "How can we build you a place to stay?" And then God the Father speaks, "This is my son, listen to him." So Peter was always saying too much. It must be embarrassing when God out of heaven makes you to be quiet. But this is what happened to Peter, and so God is speaking to us about mountains. A lot of significant things happened on mountains. Also, that that video that I watched, there's a huge, huge rock that split in two with a big split like this. And on the one side, it looks like water erosion in the middle of the desert. And what they believe, it's where Moses hit the rock, but a lot of water came out so that because it must have been more than 1 million people standing there that they all could drink at once. It couldn't have been a trickle of water. It must have been a lot of water that came out when he, and it was such a miracle when you look at scripture that everyone was in awe because of this miracle. They also saw a place where these 12 round stones that you could put up as a pillar, they found exactly 12. So, and it looked similar to what you would find in Egypt. And there was also this place where it looked like an altar, but on the altar there was all these calves drawn on the rock. So it is very, very interesting. If you go and watch it and you into the answers in Genesis, you would really enjoy it. So Micah 4 verse 1 to 3. This is where I feel God is saying, giving this is a scripture that I felt God is giving to us. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and people shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many people, and shall decide for strong nations far away, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So the scripture just saying in the latter days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the highest mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, but people shall flow to it. And then it says, come, we must go to this mountain of the Lord. And I believe God is saying to us, we must come. It's time to come to the mountain of the Lord. It's time to come now. And on this mountain, he will teach us his ways and his paths. So God wants to, in this mountain, he wants to reveal to us who he is, that we can walk according to what God had called us to be. And then he says that he talks about judgment. There will come judgment, and from that there will be peace. That there will not be war anymore, but from the judgment God's peace will be established. So, yes, the scripture is saying we must go up. God wants to teach us. But when it talks about the latter days, and this is where I just felt revelation. And I want to take you to Revelation. I don't know if you read Revelation. Who of you have read Revelation? Have you enjoyed Revelation? Do you understand Revelation? Does anyone understand Revelation? Openbaring. Daniel, verstaan jy dit? Nog nie. Sê net nog nie. That's a good answer. Okay, so Revelation 1, verse 1 to 3. Just the introduction to Revelation. Listen to this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And then it says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So, Nicola, this is just, the time is near. But blessed is when we read it, we hear it, and we keep it. Blessed are we. And I believe it's not only for Revelation, but I believe it's for all of the Word of God, that if we read it, we hear it, and we keep it. Because we many times, and I see it a lot, people ask me, come, please come and pray for me. I'm taking strain. Please, this has happened in my house. You must come. There's bad things happening in my house. Come, you must come. And I'll come once, and I'll teach you this is what you need to do. But I cannot war your house and my house. I can war my house, and I can teach you to war your house. But you can't expect me to war your house for me, for you. We all have a responsibility to stand up and to take the ground that God has given each one of us. But we cannot be lazy. We cannot not read the word. Study the word, hear it, and important, do what it says. I believe God has given us the scriptures that we can read it, that we can be transformed by it. So if we spend time and whatever we sow, we will reap. So what are we sowing to? If we sow to games, we're going to reap games. If we sow apples, seeds, it will grow apples. If we sow pear seeds, it will grow pears. If we sow destruction, we will reap destruction. So what are we sowing to? If we sow scripture, we will reap that blessing. So how much time do we spend allowing God to equip us? Because if we take a day and we sleep 8 hours, we work 8 hours, then we've got another 8 hours left. How much of that 8 hours do we spend on what? And it's difficult, especially when you have young children, then all that you do is your children. But in reality, should we not maybe give a tenth of what God has given us a day to Him? That's 2.4 hours. That's a lot if you take the whole day. Even if you just take 8 hours, it's a little bit less than an hour. But, you know, I'm just bringing it before you and myself. It's difficult. But are we spending time? Are we allowing God to equip us to read the word, to hear the word, and to be transformed by what it says? Because it's easy to read the word and do nothing about it. You'll be like someone that looks in the mirror and you turn away and you walk and you forgot what you looked like. But it's only when you say, God, this is impossible, but help me in this, that we can become transformed by what it says in the word. But we cannot be transformed if we don't read it. It's impossible. God cannot give us revelation by watching YouTube videos. It cannot happen. We can only get revelation when we teach, read the words, and hear it, and allow and ask, pray, and pray fully before God what needs to take place. So I'm going to spare all the destruction in Revelation to you, because there's quite a lot. And I want to take you to Revelation 21, verse 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God will himself be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give him from the spring of the water of life without payment. Then the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And then normally we stop there, but this verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, and for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, or liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So God comes, it talks about the new new earth, the new heaven that's created after destruction has come past. And we see the bride that's been prepared for the groom. And the bride is the church, is Jesus, is us. We are the people of God. They've been prepared to come to God. And as they come with him, God says he dwells with us, and God, we dwell with him, and we are with him, and there's no light because God's light shines upon all. So there's no need for light because God is so radiant. We're just in his presence. And God's heart for us to be with him is just shown here. And then he says, he, God himself, comes and he wipes away the tears from us. We will not see death. We'll see loved ones that has passed away. There's no mourning. There's not crying. There's not pain. All those things have passed away. All of that is to the past. And then he says, I make all things new. And this is in this dispensation and the new, God makes all things new. That this is who God is. His heart is to restore, to renew, to make new. He wants to wipe away our tears, our pains, our sufferings. He wants us to become new before him. But then these words are true. And then he says, if we come to drink from him, he will give us without any payment. But, you know, we the coward here is a quitter. I would rather not do anything. Faithless, I've lost faith, not reliable, I doubt. Detestable, it talks vile, it's like they do just bad things. But murder can really include hate, bitterness as well. Sexually immoral is the things that we look at, the movies, magazines, is so full of just to get us to become weak sexually, to become sexually immoral. Sorceress talks about occult involvement, witches, magic. So what are we looking at? What are we things that we're going to watch? And the movies and things that we're seeing, it includes all of these things. Idolatrous, hero worship, fanatic, devotees to something when God does not become everything in our lives anymore. And this is what it talks about here. It says they will have no part. Then I'm jumping to verse 9. It says, then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And he spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain. This is where I believe God is saying he wants the bride to come to this mountain because he wants to show Jesus. He wants to show who we are, what we've become, the wife of the Lamb. He wants to brag with us. And he said, and there on the mountain, he showed me the holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and it's like radiance, like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. And then it continues talking about heaven, how beautiful it is and how amazing it is. And the scripture just continues and continues speaking about the glory of God. Because I'm feeling a bit sick, I think I've lost quite an important scripture here. And you're not going to get the gist of my message if I don't take you back to Revelation 19. Sorry about that. I'm struggling a little bit to focus. I need a little bit more sleep. Can you just take them back to Revelation 19? Did I read this to you? Just before Revelation 21, it says, we must rejoice and exalt and give God the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with white linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God. So we must exalt. We must give glory to God, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. I believe we will not be made ready by the groom. We have the responsibility to make ourselves ready for the groom to come. So when you marry, it not happened to me once, but I've seen a girl, a very good friend of mine, she got married in running shoes. She was a very keen runner. And when she got married, she came down in her running shoes. And she was ready to run, the bride that can run. But apart from that, you don't see brides coming down with curlers in their hair, or like in a pantofles. They've prepared and, you know, they've made like hours and hours of makeup and the hair. How many appointments doesn't a girl have to go through just for the hair and the makeup? And, you know, and the husband is not allowed to see her. And when he sees her, he's like, and they all want to cry and they get so nervous. But the bride has been prepared for days just for that moment when she walks down the aisle. And this is where the fathers normally get very worried, and because now they're taking the, and there's this soft quietness when he hands over this bride to this defiant. But there's something amazing that happens because the bride has prepared herself for the groom. And I believe God is saying we must prepare ourselves for him. He's not going to come and prepare us for him. He's waiting to come when we prepare. And this is the 10, that 5 foolish virgins and 5 wise ones, the ones that were prepared. So, but there's good news. He's given us a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will help us, because the bride cannot do the makeup herself. She needs all those people around her, the best maids and what is it? Macy's. Bridesmaids, the best men. So you need all those people to help. And this is what God does. He gives us the Holy Spirit and he's like the wedding coordinator. And he sends all the different people over our path to help us with the makeup and the hair and the dress. And it's 5-10 dresses. And then luckily the dad normally says, okay, I'll pay for everything. And they go, because that day must be so special when you walk down, because we have been prepared. But I believe, and it's just the preparation, is the deeds. It's the deeds, the righteous deeds of the saints. And those righteous deeds comes because of we've read the word, we've heard it, and now we do it. It's not dead works, it's by faith, because it comes by faith. We walk by faith, and we can only walk this mountain by faith and not by sight. You can just take it once at a time, but the changing happens because of what it says in Scripture. And this is so important. And then from that, the bride must be ready. And then it said, Jesus comes, he shows them. He shows them, he heals, he restores, he makes new. And then he says, they were carried, the bride and the lamb, they were carried to a high mountain where he showed them all those things. And then in verse 6, he says, and he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirit of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Then verse 7 says, and behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. That he is coming, but true. This was written 2,000 years ago. But they've been expecting him for 2,000 years, that disciples believed that he was going to come now. And there's a case to be built that the only reason why he couldn't come was because the bride didn't prepare herself. So when the bride is prepared, then the groom can come. Then Revelation 12 says, "And behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, my reward with me, to repay each one for what he has done." So we'll be rewarded for the works that we've done, what God had asked us to do. So there's a reward system according to what we've done. And our Andy Lawton from the street, Helleberg Street People Center, says we cannot feed people on the street. It keeps them there. So if you feed people, if you leave your food in the dustbin, it will keep those people on the street because it gives them no reason to want to get off the street. You know, there are guys there that, there's one guy, his job is every morning he goes and he collects all the glass bottles that he can find and he brings it to this group of people and they rinse the bottle from all the rubbish what's in there. Then they take that bottle and they fill it with wine. And the wine is mixed with wine and spirits and another something, but it's harmful for you. Then his payment is he gets one bottle. The rest they then take and they sell for 7 rand a bottle. So when we give food and money, they take the food and money and they go and sell it and they buy dick. You know, and he said to me that one day, one morning, he said to the guys, "I want a stick of tuk, a 5-liter wine, and a mandrax tablet." They took out 100 rand. And the one guy thought, "Yo, we're going to party for church this morning." And he took it and he ran. And 5 minutes later, he was back with that. So he took it and he threw it out and the tuk on the ground. And then one guy said to me, "You must just clean it up because someone is going to come and try and sniff it up from the dirt on the ground." That's how addicted they've become. So we try to do good, but we actually keep people by giving them things. So what he said is what they do a token system. If you go and work in the garden, if you come to the sessions, if you come to Friday night or Monday night, or you get a token. When you have 5 tokens, we make sure you get a ID. If you have 10 tokens or 2 tokens, you can sleep in the shelter. So it brings the guys to a point where they want to work. If they fall back on drugs, they take away half of their tokens. So it's about a token system. So the thing is, there's nothing free in this life. We have to work for what God wants. We can do debt works, definitely, but we must hear from God. What has He called us for? Because we all have been given different talents. If we do nothing with our talents, it will be, but the ones who are faithful in the little will be given much. So there is a reward system that God will reward according to what we have been given, what He has called us for. Do you, amen? Anyone, any amens there? And then He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes," so it's a preparation, "so that they have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So there's a reward. Those who in sin are being kept outside, and those who are with God come in with Him. And then verse 17 says, and this is the last scripture in the Bible. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus will be with all. Amen. So he says, I'm coming soon. Surely I'm coming soon. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with us soon. So the Spirit and the Bride, come. All who say, yeah, come. All who are thirsty says, come. Are we praying for Jesus to come? Are we allowing God to prepare us to come? Are we allowing God to deal with sin in our lives? Because sin destroys. Sin is destructive. It breaks down. The result of sin is death. And we, in the Western church, have come to a point where we want to hide and keep sin in secret, and we want to continue walking in sin and walking with God. But we cannot do that. We cannot serve two masters. We must either choose God or we must choose this world. The Bible says, he who loves the world will hate me. And if you hate me, if you love me, you will hate the world. We are in this world, but we are not part of this world. So there's a decision that we have to take and make and say, I am being separated from the world. Therefore, I want to live. I want to read the words. I want to hear it. I want to keep what it says in the word. And it will be contradictory to what it happens in the world. Lynette, thank you, Nikki. That book that you've given her to read, I've also read it, and I'm not there. It's a lady. She was a Muslim girl in Pakistan who got saved. Jesus appeared to her, and he healed her. She was in a wheelchair, and now she's wanting to get baptized in where I'm at. But she's giving up everything, her family, her friends, her wealth, all that she had. She turned away from it to follow Jesus because she's met him. And she said, I know, I've met him. I don't want to be. I know what I'm giving up, but I'm meeting Jesus. So there's a place where I believe, because we live comfortably. We live in a great world, and we want to go up the cable car to the mountain. But even in Mount Sinai, those people, the Israelites, said, I don't want to go. Moses, you go, because God is too much for us. We don't want to go there. So because they weren't ready to prepare themselves to enter into on the mountain, so only Moses could go up. Because there was a place where Aaron's sons brought the wrong incense and they died because they had not a reverence in their heart for who God is. So, you know, for us, we want to take the cable car route. We all do. I do. Because it's easy. But it's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to prepare ourselves to meet with God. And we cannot meet with him. And I'm guilty. And I'm praying with God. But this world that we live in is a sinful place. The things that we see is I'm not even talking about porn. I'm just talking about movies and games and stuff that we see all around us. It's there to defile us. It's there to break us down that we cannot connect with God. And I believe God is saying to us, the time is here for us as the bride of Jesus Christ to prepare us to walk in holiness because he wants to take us up to the mountain. We cannot go up to the mountain if we're not preparing ourselves. But the going up in the mountain is part of the preparation as God walks with us. But it's a decision that all of us have to make because he is coming soon. I believe he is soon. And when he's going to come, I just want to emphasize what Nicola had said. It's going to be the terrible day of the Lord. But God's provision is always on those who trust him. If we trust in him, when God said to Abram on Mount Sinai, when he had to on Mount Moriah, he said, I am the Lord that provides. God will provide that ram for us in the time that we really need it. But the thing is, are we spending time with him? Do we grow in faith? Do we grow in what God has called us for? Because I believe the time is here that we cannot rely on other people to stand in faith for us. It's time for all of us to stand in faith for what God had called us for. Amen. Flo, are you still here? I think if we can just finish off with that song, Come Lord Jesus. And if you can just stand, I just want to pray. And then in that, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Because I believe there was two specific words that was given here this morning to confirm what I was praying. But for someone that I believe the one word is, you don't know if you're going to live. And God is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to respond to that. If that is you this morning, and you knew when Stephen gave that word, that your heart started pounding in your heart like that, you knew that word was for me. Then I want to encourage you, please come forward. Don't let it go. But come, because we never know when that accident can happen to any one of us. Anyone of us could die today. We don't know. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready? Because he's preparing a place for you. And then the second person, or maybe group of people, the second altar call is, if you've become sort of just lethargic in your walk with God, that you are not spending, you're not reading the Bible, you're not praying, there's not relationship, you're not hearing God's voice, you're not writing things down, what God is saying to you, and you feel, this is for me, I want that, I want to respond to that, I really want to pray with you. I want to ask you then just to come and stand on that side. If you want to come to that place where you know that when Jesus comes, you'll be prepared, your lamp, there's extra oil in your lamp because you have been preparing for the coming of Christ your whole life. And it might be in 20 years' time, it might be 200 years, but it might be tomorrow. We don't know. But the times, and many people say the time is near. I believe the time is near. Are you ready? Father, we just want to pray, and I just want to pray, God, that you will bring us to a place, Lord, we, in our walk in faith, God, that we will allow you to change who we are, Lord. Father, we pray, God, that our children, Lord, will see in us Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we as husbands, Lord, will reflect Christ to our wives. And Lord, I pray that our wives will reflect the bride to us, Lord. God, I pray that our character will change, Lord, that we can walk free from sin, Lord. That we can walk, and Lord, those things that are, that those habits that we have that is destroying our lives, Lord, that you will take it away from us, Lord. Because we have decided to walk for you, to live for you in all that we do, Lord. God, we pray that you will help us. Holy Spirit, come and help us, Lord, to prepare us for the coming of Christ, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the nations that do not know you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you will equip us, Lord, to live what you have called us for, to go and make disciples, Lord. Father, I want to pray, Lord, for every person in this church to have a living relationship with you, Lord. We honor you, we bless you, we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Let's just bring that song to the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. And if anyone wants to respond, we want to just invite you. Don't allow pride to take you away. But if you feel you must come, we just want to encourage you. Come, let me pray with you. Because God, the time is near. Thank you, Jesus.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.